Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The show is about to begin.
Welcome to the podcast, Conscience That Made Us. Interviews and stories, tales from the bus. We love taking you back to when it all went down. The greatest live shows and that cheering crowd sound. It's Concerts, Concerts That Made Us, ConcertsThatMadeUs.com.
Hey, this is Ben from the Ben Ray Rock Band, and you're listening to Concerts That Made Us.
We'll be right back. Ven, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be back, Brian. Good to see you.
You too. It's fantastic now. So it's been just about 2 years since we spoke. How has life been?
Well, you know, it's been, you know, the post-pandemic world's been pretty, you know, it's been kind of different. I'm sure it's the same over there in Ireland. You know, we lost 3 years as a result of the pandemic. We had just done a really big tour with LA Guns the last quarter of 2019, you know, and the played New Year's Eve at the famous Whiskey A Go-Go, which was the last show of the tour. A lot of shows back east. And the band went in and recorded 10 songs in the studio. We were on fire. You know, we did that in January of 2020. And then, you know, February 17th, everything just shut down. And that was it. So we played our first show in 3 years at the Whiskey A Go-Go in August 2021. We headlined the Whiskey, packed the place, and did a bunch of one-off shows. You know, at the time, we were signed to Pavement Entertainment in our last EP, Purgatory Awaits. I had released in February 2022. So we did a lot of one-off shows. And because of the pandemic, so many bands were touring and the competition was so intense, you know, from the loss of money that, you know, we didn't really get to tour behind the record until last summer. We did a real nice Midwestern tour with Buck Cherry, who we toured with in Europe way back in 2014. So it was nice to reunite with those guys. And that was a great tour. And then I opted out of my option with Pavement and signed with the new record company, Wake Up Music Rocks, and the great Pepper Gomez. And we went to Nashville and had Phenom producer Malcolm Springer, you know, Tantric, Matchbox 20, Collective Soul, over 20 platinum record. He produced the new EP, which is called Sip the Cup. And you're probably aware that the music video for that released on February 17th. I think it's over 320,000 views today. And, you know, after 2 weeks on radio, we were at 46 last week on the SMR Top 50 chart, which comes out on Tuesday. So in about 2.5 hours, I'll see how far we moved up. So that's pretty much a quick recap of what's going on.
Nice. You know, you mentioned the upcoming EP. You recently released as well the single Sip the Cup. That is one hell of a track. It's a great follow-up to Purgatory Awaits. Tell us about the track. Where did the inspiration come from? What's it about?
You know, it's really funny because crazy things can happen, you know, with songs. You know, when I write lyrics, I email them to Jason Womack, who plays guitar and does backing vocals. And he writes the music, I write the lyrics, and I save it. And I guess we were on tour, and I had sent him some lyrics, but I didn't email him. I just kind of texted it to him, and he was about to throw away this phone and looked at it. He saw the lyrics, and that became Hang the Predator, which won best rock and hard rock song that year, which I think was 2016. And something kind of similar happened with Sip the Cup. You know, sometimes we just get together in the studio and write from scratch. Sometimes I send him lyrics. He writes music to the lyrics. Sometimes he sends me music and I write lyrics to the music. And with Sip the Cup, that was the case. And the pace of the song, you know, it took me a little while to figure out the right words for it. And then, you know, we had a lot of riots in LA after the pandemic, and then, you know, with Russia invading Ukraine. And so Sip the Cup is basically three subjects altogether. It's the comparison of ancient war, you know, and ancient battles, and how horrific that was in a very different way than modern warfare or modern weapons. And it's also about reincarnation. So if you watch the music video, most of it is artificial intelligence. Although there'll be times where it kind of looks like me, but it's not. It's AI.
Oh.
And it's kind of a different person with a similar look to me. It's because you got from the hook, you know, can't use me in your schemes. Repeating all these things as different beings. And so, you know, I kind of feel like this is my first life on Earth where I haven't had to participate in war. And that in most of my past lives, whether you believe in that or not, I do. I was a warrior. And I kind of really, you know, so I was kind of talking about being reincarnated over so many different centuries and thousands of years and participating in a lot of ancient battles. So those are kind of the three subject matters of it.
Right. I find that fascinating. I kind of believe in reincarnation and past lives as well. I've always thought to myself, I'd love to find out what my past lives were, see if there was anything cool. But I have to say as well, you really kind of hit the potluck with this one, coming back as like a rock star.
Well, thank you. You could call me that. I'm too humble to do so. Yeah. The new EP is called Sip the Cup. And the first single that you're referring to is the title track, Sip the Cup. It's a 6-song EP. And I think it's the best. It's the best music we've ever put out there. And I think it's a combination of, you know, between March 17, 2020, when everything shut down from the pandemic, and January of 2023, Jason and I wrote and recorded over 65 demos.
Oh, man.
And 6 of those songs did make it to Purgatory Awaits. Actually 4, 2 were pre-recorded. Interesting story there. You know, my drummer's French and they wouldn't let him leave the country when we got signed in April 2021 to Pavement. So my friend Stephen Perkins, the drummer from Jane's Addiction, actually drummed 4 of those, on that particular record. But Jason unfortunately got diagnosed. We played Vegas in April last year. And then all the guys went back to LA. I moved to Las Vegas in January of 2023. LA's just become pretty difficult to live in.
I've heard that.
So the band went home, and about 3 days later, he called me and told me he'd been diagnosed with colon cancer.
Oh my God.
Yeah, stage 3. So he's gone through 2 surgeries, and now he's 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off of tremendous chemotherapy. So he did not tour with us. We brought in Edgar Nieto, who's a childhood friend of our bass guitarist, Gabe Masca, both from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I had an international band. I had 2 guys from Rio de Janeiro. I had a bass guitarist from Rio, a guitar player from Rio. Gabe is a great singer, so he did the backing vocals. Victor Singer's from France. And the tour went very well, but Jason's produced everything we've done. And because of the health situation, you know, we brought in Malcolm Springer in Nashville, and he pretty much used real big name musicians there to record our music. And I flew back there for a week and did the vocals there with him. You know, Jason's great, but, you know, you don't represent yourself in court as a lawyer. You get a lawyer. You know, a heart surgeon isn't going to perform surgery on themselves. And I think Jason's done a great job with her past music, although with a producer with 20 multi-platinum records, I think Malcolm really had a vision and took it to a level we've never achieved before, because, you know, Show Me was a great music video and that hit 243,000 views total. And in less than 2 months, you know, in really 2 months, this music video has exceeded 320,000 views and the streaming numbers are through the roof on it. So I think that that substantiates the difference between stepping back from your music and allowing an independent third party producer and another set of ears to work on it. And our manager has been trying to get us to do it for years. So, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I'm really proud of it. I mean, I think Sip the Cup was the last song I thought would be the first single.
Right, really?
We sent all the demos to the radio promoter, and he picked what's going to actually be... Well, he picked Cross the Line and Hear Him Scream. So I guess the next single will be Cross the Line. But once we finished recording my vocals with Malcolm, it was pretty obvious that was the track to go with first. But, you know, it's the heaviest track on the record.
Right, right. I have to ask, is there a track on the record then that's maybe a personal favorite or you have a strong connection to?
Well, you know, Love Dance, which is kind of the ballad of it. You know, they're not going to drop the EP till we have a tour booked. So that'll probably be about in the next 4 to 6 weeks or so. And so there's been some pretty powerful people in the industry that have heard the record. You've heard the whole record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who liked that song. You know, I have a 23-year-old daughter who I raised alone as a single father from the time she was 14 months old. And I wrote that song about her. She's a supermodel. And constantly, you know, living in New York and constantly going between New York, London, Paris, Milan. And, you know, she's just a heartbreaker. Boyfriends don't last very long.
Right.
So, you know, I wrote Love Dance about my daughter, who I love very much. And so I think that might be my favorite song. And then my second favorite song would be War Machine, because I usually take a shot at tyranny and I'm very anti-war. And I'm not a political person, but under 4 years of Donald Trump as our president, it was the first time in decades there were no wars we were involved. And then, you know, with Joe Biden, we have this terrible invasion of Russia of Ukraine. And I have many Russian and Ukrainian friends. So that moved me to write War Machine, because it's just about the money. Can you imagine the billions or trillions of dollars from the industrial complex that was not earned over 4 years under Donald Trump? And boy, they're really making up for it now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I think war is just all about money, I think.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Do you think they'll, side note now, not connected to the music, but do you think they'll let him get back in this time?
You know, that's a really good question. The American people are really suffering, you know, and me included. You know, it's like, unless you're super, super rich, because the inflation is horrible here. The cost of living has just gone through the roof. You know, the cost of gasoline has doubled, some states tripled. The cost of food is just gone through the roof. People are really suffering. And we have wars, you know, I mean, China's threatening Taiwan, Russia's invaded Ukraine, you know, Hamas attacked Israel. You know, what's going on politically is kind of terrible. Our southern border's wide open. Probably 15 million people have come in. Venezuelan gangs, you know, we're getting a lot of young women raped and murdered, you know, I mean, as young as 12, 14 years old.
God.
And I just think the world is very unsafe. If they don't rig the election, I think Trump probably would win. I think it's obvious that Joe Biden is mentally not competent to be president of the United States. And the Democratic Party seemed to have gone very progressive and far left here. You know, very socialist communist. And I think the American people are done with that. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an American. I'm registered as an independent. Although I think all of our lives were much better under Donald Trump than they've been the last 3 years under Joe Biden. I think that his foreign policy is very weak because he's weak. You know, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. You know, I mean, all politicians have a real bad side to them. Although to have a guy you can't remember what he had for breakfast or how to walk off a stage. And
yeah, it's a bit crazy.
You know, as the leader of the most powerful country in the world is scary.
Yeah. 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 It really is. Really is. But it kind of goes to show as well, like realistically, when you think about it, they're not going to let someone like that be in power. So who's controlling him? Is he a puppet for someone else? You know?
Yeah. We don't know who the real Lizard King is, but it's certainly not him.
No.
The scariest thing is who is really running this country. Mm. You know, we really don't know, but you've got all this human trafficking and drugs and everything coming in through the southern border. You know, women and children are being trafficked, and it appears the Democratic Party just doesn't really care. Yeah, they want illegal aliens to be part of the census, and what that does is it increases the electoral votes of states that have large populations of them, which is primarily California and New York, which always go Democrat. And it also creates a situation where they have more congressional districts. So it's clear that they don't care about the Americans' quality of life. They don't care about people's daughters being raped and murdered. What they care about is remaining in power. And yet they want all these people in here to help them create a situation where they can control the House of Representatives, the Senate, you know, and retain the White House. They only seem to care about power. You know, democracy is freedom. And, you know, it's pretty scary. You know?
It is. I mean,
I'm not a real big fan of Donald Trump either. Although to have a political opponent slapped with numerous lawsuits and, you know, that Soviet Union and Nazi Germany kind of stuff, it's pretty scary. I don't like it. And, you know, I mean, I'm a child of the 70s music and, you know, it'd just be nice to have someone run this country properly and show the world that we're strong and make the world a safer place for everybody, because it's dangerous right now, man.
It is. It is. It's getting a scary place, a very scary place everywhere. But I suppose we better get back to the music. What do you think fans of your music are going to love about the new record? What do you think will stick out to them?
I think that they're going to be hearing a real different production in the arrangements of the songs. They're going to hear a vast progression forward from the last record, Purgatory Awaits. You know, I quit smoking and started working out of the gym and doing all these things, which has made my vocal much more powerful, and my vocal range has increased tremendously. So I think they're going to really dig the music, the guitar parts. They're going to hear my voice in a way they've never heard on any other record. So, so far, the fan reaction just at the Cup has just been incredible. although I don't think it's the strongest song on the record.
Right. And is this a good sign of how the band is going to go in the future? You know, are you going to keep the production outside the band, and is this the sound you're going to continue with?
Yeah, well, we have a saying in America. I don't know if you have it over there in Ireland, but we say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I like it.
And Malcolm Springer loves our band, and he really understands how to produce it and take it to a level it's never been before. So I think when we do make another album, we'll highly likely make it with him. Although that'll be down the road quite a bit, because the record hasn't released yet. And, you know, we probably got, 12 to 16 months of touring to do behind it before we think about it. But we've got 5 or 6 records worth, full 10 length LPs worth of material to pick from. But until Jason's feeling better, we just can't write any new songs.
Yeah, understandable. And before we dive into the last couple of questions then, give us some highlights from shows you've played since we last spoke. I know you said the headline at the Whiskey and everything. Is there any other shows that stuck out to you?
Well, that was really something, because it was our first show, in 3 years. And then that was August of 2021. And then at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood. And then New Year's Eve, LA Guns always play. So the day before New Year's Eve, we played with Stephen Piercy from Rat. And so we were direct support to him. And that was just another incredible show. A little bit shorter set. And then we did a pretty big tour last summer with Buck Cherry. And I'd never really played in Arkansas. We had a show in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Right.
And it was funny, because I thought the two shows near Chicago would be really big, but they didn't turn out to be what I thought they'd be. Although the fans in Fort Smith, Arkansas, we played a big theater there. It was absolutely packed. And it was just us and Buck Cherry for that show. Some of the shows, it was the third band, but not for that show. They were going crazy, when our tour manager went out on stage to make sure my mic was right and all, they were just going completely nuts. And, it renewed my faith in American rock fans. It was just absolutely incredible. And, when we took the stage, it was 45 minutes of the most incredible, mind-boggling energy I've experienced in a long, long time. The other show, you'd have to go all the way back to 2014 when we played Alcatraz in Milan. It was a Sunday. It was, December or January or something. And I guess the tour started in December 2013, ended in January 2014. So it was cold and it was snowing. And they were lined up for literally over half a mile, US mile, I don't know what that is in kilometers, for 3 hours just to get a good spot when they came in. And it was us and Hardcore Superstar from Sweden and Buck Cherry on that tour. And Hardcore Superstar is a great, great live band. When we took the stage, it was pretty much like Fort Smith, Arkansas. Although that was the first time, we're really famous in Italy. We can headline there now. So that was the first time I ever played a show where they were actually singing my songs back to me. That was the first experience that I had. And, as somebody in a band, whether you're, playing guitar or bass or the lead singer or whatever, that first time where you play a show and you've got 5,000 people singing your songs back to you, That's like the first time your child says daddy to you.
I can imagine. I could imagine. When you're playing with guys like Buck Cherry and all, do you approach it like, right, we are going to try win the crowd over and make them our fans, or we're going to play louder than Buck Cherry?
Yeah, we don't really care who we're touring with. You know, we've toured with some pretty big people. We've toured with Alice Cooper. We've toured with Slash from Guns N' Roses. So, you know, we toured with Michael Schenker. We've toured with some pretty big bands. That's our stage time. And when we go out there to make sure whoever's coming on after us brings their triple A game. And that's, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're there to make a statement and win over a lot of new fans. And there's been some tours where we've been, you know, the first of three, and everybody's all nice and friendly before the first show. And then one of two things happens. You come off the stage as third up, and then the direct support band is staring into outer space and don't speak to you for the rest of the tour. or you become brothers for life, you know, like Hardcore Superstar and us. We came out and killed it, which forced them to come out and kill it. And it took about 7 or 8 shows for Buck Cherry to really find themselves, you know.
Really?
Yeah, on that tour. Because they had some new players in the band. They had a new guitar player, they had a new bass player. And we heard some really heated meetings going on in their dressing room.
I can imagine.
Because it started off in Germany. And after the 8th show, you know, they got it together. And boy, you know, they just, they had their AAA game on. And all three bands did for the rest of the tour. You know, in fact, when we did the UK run, you know, nobody really knew in the UK knew who Hardcore Superstar was at the time. They didn't even know. They knew who we were. They knew who Buck Cherry was. But, you know, obviously, they've known for many years now who Hardcore Superstar is. So, yeah, you go out there, that's your time, and you don't care who you're touring with. You just go out there and you leave your entire heart and soul on that stage. That's what we've always done that.
Good to hear. Right, the last couple of questions. So there are a couple of random fun ones. First one, what are you currently obsessed with? It can be anything at all.
Am I obsessed with? You know, obsession. I don't know if I'm someone who ever gets obsessed with anything.
Right.
What I'm most excited about is who we're going to end up touring with.
Right.
And getting back out on the road and hopefully have Jason back for that. We'll keep Edgar and go from a 4-piece to a 5-piece and have 2 guitars. If that happens, it's going to be a venerated lineup no one's ever heard the likes of. And so if I'm obsessed, I'm obsessed with the excitement of touring behind this new EP, because we're going to play 4 of the 6 songs of this. We're going to play 2 from the last record, and then probably 4 or 5 of our hits from the 4 previous independent releases.
I suppose you can't tell us any of the prospective bands on the list that you could be touring with, no?
You know, it could be anyone from Bush to Tesla to Alice Cooper to Breaking Benjamin to Alice in Chains. Our management's talking to all of them. I'd love to tour with the Cult.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, they played, they've got the Pearl Theater here. It's one thing about living in Las Vegas, you know, you get to see a lot of great shows. But they have the Pearl Theater at a hotel near where I live called The Palms. And I saw I can't remember his name. Yeah, Iggy Pop.
Yeah,
and he had Duff McKagan and the Band from Hell on stage with him. But I did go there a few months ago to see The Cult. They had Cold Cave open for him, and you know, and I could see why, because their sound is very kind of similar to that genre. Although when The Cult came out, who I'd never seen before, and they're one of my favorite bands, I thought to myself, we would have been a much better opening band. So I've asked my manager to reach out to Ian, because that would be really cool too. But at this point, you know, I really don't know. I think we kind of match up. We can open for anybody over the last 50 years because of our sound, but I think we match up best behind this album with one of the 90s bands.
Yeah, you know, I get that.
Tesla would work because Jason was influenced by the Jesus and Mary Chain. And so like Tesla and Tool and all those bands that were influenced by them, we would fit in with. But I think the 90s bands, you know, Breaking Benjamin, Alice in Chains, Bush, you know, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, those kind of bands, I think we would fit well with.
That'd be one hell of a show. You and one of those on the lineup be the ultimate. And the next question, what is your go-to album? What's an album you always go back to?
Oh, that I love? Get Your Yayas Out by the Rolling Stones.
Right,
you know, because they're still touring. And of course, you know, Brian Jones had passed away before I first saw the Rolling Stones in 1972. I was a wee little teenager, and I was in the 13th row center. There was some girl that had a crush on me. They had two tickets and invited me to go with her. And Stevie Wonder opened for them. And that lineup with Mick Taylor on guitar, you know, I think a lot of the younger crowd really don't know what the sound of the Rolling Stones was, because when Mick Taylor left in 76 and Ron Wood came in, and nothing bad about Ronnie because I loved Rod Stewart and the Faces and all that. But Mick Taylor's just was incredible. So in 1969, they put out a live album from Madison Square Garden called Get Your Yayas Out. I think it's just an EP with 7 or 8 songs on it. And if you listen to that, that is the Rolling Stones at the top of their game. You know, like Street Fighting Man and that guitar solo by Mick Taylor. For all you guys watching this show, if you really want to know what the Rolling Stones' true sound was, listen to Get Your Yayas Out.
Some solid advice there. And before I let you go then, future plans that are set in stone, is there anything you want to share with us before I let you go?
Well, right now, the only thing set in stone is, we want to see how far up the charts this single goes. And what's set in stone is in the next 4 to 6 weeks, know who we're touring with. And make plans to get the band all together and start rehearsing to get out on the road. And, you know, that is set in stone. And we're gonna tour behind this record. And some streaming television station thought it was my story and the band's story was pretty interesting. So they started filming a documentary on me and the band, beginning with that show at the Whiskey. In August 2022, and they actually went on tour for a lot of it with Buck Cherry and filmed a lot of that stuff. And that movie's going to hit streaming television probably in November or December this year. So I think millions of people are going to see that. And I think that's going to open the door to much bigger things going into 2025.
Definitely. That's unreal. That is unreal. Not many bands get documentaries made about them. Well, not these days anyway.
Well, you know, I know I don't look it, but, you know, I was 55 when we did our first tour. The band was a hobby. I started at 54, and I thought I was too old to be taking it more serious than that. And they tricked me into playing a show. And the next thing I knew, I was on tour with Alice Cooper, then Slash, and we blew up. and we blew up through the roof. So I had never really planned on that. You know, I got my first record contract at 66 or 7. My first ever radio single released at like 67 and hit number 2 on the charts.
Yeah.
My second one released at 68 and hit 17 on the charts. And I've toured with Alice Cooper and Slash, who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And now I'm on my second record deal with a new record coming out and turned 69 in January. So,
crazy.
You know, I'd like to be humble, but if you can tell me anybody else who's done what I've done, I'd like to know who they are. So it's just kind of a good message that it's never too late to rock and roll. It's kind of the American dream or everybody's dream that, you know, it's never too late to live your dreams and that, it, you know, if you believe, everything is possible. So I think the message outside of the music of, you know, what I've achieved with the band and all the hard work I put in to get to where we are is, I think that's a good message for people.
Definitely a true inspiration. Yeah. Listen, Finn, it's been an absolute pleasure again. Thanks a million for coming on.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. I can't wait to get back to Ireland. We'll be playing in Dublin next year or maybe even the end of this year. So I got to see you in Dublin and we'll have a few pints together and you can check us out live.
Diesel fuel and all. Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. And if you're interested in signing up the Band Builder Academy, use the link in the show notes below and enter the code CONCERTS and you'll receive 10% off. So, until next time, keep rocking.
Hey. Hey, what are you guys still doing here? The show's over. It's over. You can go home. Go on. We'll see you next time. We'll be here.